GoDaddy.com. Use the code BLU139 to get 10% off any combination of purchases at GoDaddy.com. See site for details. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Tango Tango Papa 1512, May 25th, 2011.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you once again from home. Should be going back to work tomorrow. Tomorrow is Wednesday, and that's the day I'm supposed to be going back to work, and I'm sure they'll probably come up with a load and send me on my way. So I was going to put up a podcast last night, but we've been having a lot of bad weather, and not really around here so much. Yesterday we received, about four inches of rain in a fairly short period of time. It just rained and rained. And then last night it did it again, but then my electricity went off. And it was off, I don't know, probably the better part of a couple of hours. And so I just went ahead and went to bed. And I think it did come back on after I'd gone to bed. And so I was already in bed and I'd turned all the lights off. Because it tried two or three times, it tried coming back on. You know, the transformers, once they're tripped, usually the transformers are designed to try to come back on three separate times, and if they can't come back on, then, you know, after the third time they give up. And so it did that, I don't know, a couple of times, and then after that the crews must have been working on it, and then it would come on just for a minute or just for a few seconds, and then it would go back off. So there was probably a limb or something that was probably had fallen against the line in the storm, and so eventually they found the problem, and, you know, the lights came back on and stayed on. But so I didn't put up a podcast last night. Now today, my aunt, my dad's youngest sister, had called me yesterday wanting to know if I would come over for lunch, kind of a late lunch, and so I did. So I rode my motorcycle, and today it was just cloudy. There was no rain. Now this evening, we may be getting some thunder here. A while ago, before I started recording, there was this really, I mean, it was an intense thunderclap, you know, just shook the house. So I don't know if we're going to get anything like that now or not. But so far this evening, there's just been a few little sprinkles and not even really enough to get anything wet. But I guess, of course, there was a big, I'm sure everybody's heard now about the big tornado in Joplin a couple of days ago. And then this evening, I guess there were some tornadoes in Oklahoma City and then maybe in Dallas. But so far... this evening, all I'm getting here is just some thunder and lightning and a few little raindrops. So, it kind of remains to be seen what happens later on in the night. But it is that time of year, and we can end up with severe weather. And there's not a whole lot you can do other than just pay attention. Pay attention to the weather, try to prepare for it as best you can, and you know, what's going to happen is going to happen. So, of course, the news networks, different people are trying to say, oh, it's global warming, or the storms are worse than they normally are. No, they're not. The storms are storms, you know, and this earth has been here for billions of years, and we as human beings are here just for a few years, and we don't have a clue as to what can really happen over a long period of time. Where, you know, if you look at it as a sample, the number of years that the average human being is around is a tiny, not even a good sample. It's just, you know, it's not even a decent sample if you're going to sample things in scientific terms. So this idea that, oh, the storms are worse because it's just people are suggestible. And, of course, the news media know that. The people that run the television networks news that know that. By the way, last night, it had been a long time. There's this movie, I think it came out maybe in probably early 80s, called Network. And it's kind of a classic movie now. But I watched that, and it had been years since I watched it, and it really has a good plot and a good message. And basically the message is that you don't watch television because you end up becoming programmed by it, and you can end up becoming programmed. People do end up becoming programmed by television. But it's not necessarily because of the television itself. The problem, if people do become programmed by television, and they do, of course, if that's the problem, then the problem isn't the television. The problem is the people that are watching. Why are they programmable? That's my question. I don't, want to... You know, it's one thing to try to focus on what's on television. I want to know why people are programmable. That's the real issue to me. That's the real problem. Why are they programmable? Why are they suggestible? But Network. That's a pretty interesting movie, as I say, and it's got an interesting. So, of course, it's kind of preposterous, but it's interesting, and they have interesting points to make. So, by the way, while we're talking about television, I updated my, I've got two of those Western Digital boxes, WDTV Live Plus, and so I updated the firmware in them, and in both of them. And so now, with this updated firmware, they have added apps. They've added some apps that you can kind of go through. And it's interesting. Of course, you still have Netflix, and they've added, like, Blockbuster Video. They've added Cinema Now. And maybe, I can't remember the other one. Then plus a bunch of other stuff. Different individual video podcasts, something called Flingo, which is very interesting. Flingo, if you're not familiar with it, Flingo, the idea is that you can be on different websites, and if you have the Flingo, kind of like you put the Flingo icon on your browser... Is the way I watched this demo video, and I might have to look at it again, but you put this, like the Flingo, or, it might be like a Flingo plugin in your browser, and then let's say you're on YouTube or you're somewhere on the internet and you want a video, you'd like to just kind of bookmark that video for later through Flingo. Well, the interesting thing is you tie that to your... In my case, it would be like a Western Digital box. Then whenever I come back later, and I'm actually in front of the television with the Western Digital box, then I can just watch those. And there they all are. And then the other interesting thing about the Flingo is that these videos just play one right after the other. They're all kind of automatic. So that is quite an interesting thing, because that's beginning to get to the point where, you know, you can just kind of pick your videos. It's kind of like Netflix in a way. You pick your videos, and then but then this thing puts it all in one. It puts it all in a queue, and you can just start watching the queue, and it plays automatically, which that's pretty cool, because traditionally the problem with video podcasts is that they'll play one at a time, and then you got to go back and play another one. You got to manually start it to playing again, and so I like the idea of being able to just kind of put them into an automatic queue, and then it just all automatically plays like a regular television would, and you don't have to mess with it. So what I'm seeing is that there's really an explosion of content that's happening now. Now, granted, some of the content, it's a lot of it's less than professional, to put it kindly. And sometimes that's what you want. Sometimes you want the really professional content, like a movie or something, where they've spent a lot of money on production. But then there are other times that, it just depends on what you want. And I kind of go for a mix of both sometimes. And it's also interesting because on some of this content, the lowered cost of a lot of this good equipment, people are making their own dramas. And, there's a lot of would-be television producers, movie producers out there that are kind of making their own dramas. And that could be kind of interesting, because they can, with the tools that they have available today, they can do some pretty amazing things. So, that could be interesting if they find, let's say they find the right type of thing. Now, a lot of drama type stuff, might not go for. If it's science fiction, maybe, I might check it out. So, but there really is an explosion of content that's kind of happening. So, pretty interesting. Being able to get video, through the internet and not even necessarily have to go through the traditional, broadcast or whatever. And then the nice part about it is that it's all on demand, and you get the tremendous variety and the tremendous choice. And that's the part that I really like, is I want the variety. I want what I want when I want it. And that's what has always been nice about audio podcasts, and I think that the same thing is going to apply to video, with all these over-the-top boxes, so-called over-the-top television. So, but that, so I've got to, I'm continuing, I've got to check out a variety of things. Because I've got all the podcast stuff through iTunes, but then with these different boxes, there's different stuff that's available. Like with this the LG Blu-ray player that I have, it's got certain content in it, and then I don't remember the name of it right offhand, but it's got certain content, and there's some content overlap. But in other cases, there's not. It seems like every one of these different ways, these different devices is getting different content. Even though there is some overlap, so pretty interesting stuff. Now, of course, I also have the Windows Home Server. And I have the PlayOn. There's this PlayOn TV software that I have that you install that on a computer on your network. Now I'm using the Windows Home Server, but it could be any Windows computer. It's Windows only at this point. There is no Mac version. But you have you install this on a Windows machine on your network, and what it does, then you put plugins in it, and there's I don't know, I've got like 60 plugins, different little software plugins installed into that thing, into that software. You kind of just pick and choose what you want, and then you go to your television, you know, or in my case, I have the television with the Western Digital Box. The Western Digital Box is able to do this UPnP DLNA, and that's what the Play on TV software does. It you know, it makes that available, and so it simply shows up as a share, and you can actually kind of, you know, just browse, and it shows files and folders, and basically, and you can just kind of shows you the names of the programs that, you know, that you want to watch, and it could be Hulu. I've got a Hulu plugin. I've got plugins for different television networks, TV.com. I think there's an ABC plugin, you know, or the American, or, you know, ABC, the American version, is not to be confused with ABC Australia. But, you know, there's a number of, you know, the Discovery's got one now. And it, you know, so they're the Learning Channel. So they're all starting to experiment with this, you know, putting stuff online. And so this, these plugins and this Play On software make that available. And then, but the thing is, as long as you got a decent internet connection, it streams it to, you know, the computer. In my case, this Windows Home Server is, you know, it's bringing in the stream. But then the Play On TV software streams it from the Windows Home Server box across, you know, across my home network to the, you know, to the Western Digital box and then to the TV. And you got a decent internet connection, it works perfectly, and it, and, you know, depending, you know, it can look pretty good. So you know, from a video standpoint, so it's pretty amazing stuff that's beginning to happen. There's just this, as I say, there's this explosion of content, and that's the thing that I like, is the ability to kind of pick and choose. I want to watch what I want when I want to watch it, and I don't want to have a bunch of other crap kind of tied to it, and, you know, and then be tied to their schedule. And so these over-the-top boxes with all these different apps go well beyond just, you know, the DVR idea. The DVR idea kind of fulfilled, you know, where the sort of the shortcomings of VHS, you know, the home video recording, because no one could ever figure out how, or, you know, or they'd never take the go to the trouble of setting the thing up to make the recording to time shift the programs. Well, the DVR, you know, would do that pretty easily, you know, and made that pretty handy. But why bother? I don't even care to make my own recording of it. If I can stream it on demand, who cares? Most of the stuff I don't want anyway. I don't want a copy of it. You know, there are only a few movies that are actually worth owning, and, you know, there's some, but there's, you know, there's a few that are worth owning, but, for the most part, if it's available streaming, hey, you know, that's an easier way to do it. You eliminate the clutter, and we're getting closer and closer to the point now where, you know, just imagine every movie ever made is available for you to watch just right now. All you have to be able to do is search for it and find it, and we're getting very close to that point. Not quite there yet. There are still movies that aren't available yet, but we're getting there. We really are, with services like Netflix and some of those others and some of the competitors. So really interesting what's happening. And then also, you can, you know, of course, I can watch that stuff on my phone. You know, I can watch it on my iPod. And the thing is that it does work. So anyway, today, as I said, I went over to my aunt's, you know, about 2:30, we, you know, ended up eating lunch with her and, an uncle, not, you know, it was actually her brother-in-law, that one aunt died about a year ago, and so she invited him over, and so we had lunch together. I guess it was about 2:30 this afternoon. But anyway, I couldn't, you know, I'd been over to her house a couple of times, but it's been, I don't know, a year or two ago, probably 2 years ago, and so I couldn't quite remember. So I asked her, "What's your address?" And so she told me her address. And so I did something I hadn't done before. I programmed that into my, I got the Google Maps, the Google thing on the GPS thing on the phone. But I had my earbuds, the regular earbuds, and I was able to put my helmet on, the motorcycle, because I rode the motorcycle over. So I put the motorcycle helmet on over the, in the earbuds. I didn't know if that was going to work or not, but it actually worked quite well. No problem at all getting those earbuds, getting the helmet over the earbuds. So, so I started, I started Pandora streaming, and stuck the phone in my motorcycle jacket and proceeded to ride over there. And of course, the GPS application periodically, it would say, it would tell me, when I was going to be turning and where to turn and so on and so forth. And it guided me right to her address. So, but in the meantime, when it wasn't speaking the directions, Pandora was playing. And so I'd never actually tried that before. But that actually worked quite well, so I'll probably be doing that again in the future. But that kind of solves the, because you can get a motorcycle GPS or one that's, because the difference is, one is designed for a motorcycle, obviously has to be weather resistant in case it gets into the, into rain. Then you have to worry about, somebody might steal it. But if it's just a phone in your pocket and you've got earbuds, the earbuds obviously wouldn't be staying in if I didn't have the helmet on. You pretty much have to have the helmet on in order to, because otherwise those earbuds go flying out. But that actually worked. And so I'll probably be doing that in the future. When I go riding, even if I'm not listening, I don't need the GPS, I can actually listen instead of just riding and not having anything to listen to. I could actually be listening to podcasts or whatever else. So, or even streaming Pandora. I was using it from the phone, or I can, if I did it from the iPod, then I could use the, use the phone as the hotspot, which that also works as well. So, anyway, I've got a couple of, voicemails here from, Ian. So let's go ahead and listen to Ian. So here is Ian.
Good morning again, Tom. I was just listening to a particularly interesting 30-minute podcast. It's called Macworld Podcast, and it was about Apple stores themselves. They explain that they know everything about everything that's happening in those stores. They know when the people come in, they know when they turn left, they know when they turn right, they know when they're on a certain area. Apparently they update their statistics every 4 minutes, and they have one of the highest dollars per foot sales in the United States. It's something like $4,000 a square foot is the sales performance for a store. It's something that you might really enjoy. It's only 30 minutes, and it's a really good one. It's called Apple Store's 10th Anniversary, and it's on the Macworld Podcast. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Okay, well, thank you, Ian. I might check that out. That's interesting. you know, I'm sure there are a lot, we don't realize it, but there are probably a lot of stores that are kind of, if they're smart, they're probably paying attention to what people do, what traffic patterns they're kind of making in the store. And you could take, all, you know, if you do that, let's say in the form of data, you plot, you know, you figure out how to get that, all that, that video data into, and, you know, where people are walking and what have you. You figure out how to, you know, get that into some sort of a data form. Then you can do all kinds of interesting things. You know, like, for example, if the person comes in the thing and they turn right, do they end up buying more than the person that comes in and turns left, for example, or the person that goes straight, for, you know, is there some pattern you could begin to identify if there was some pattern to the person that actually is going to buy something, or the person that's going to buy more, what you know, that's end up spending a lot of money, what pattern do they have, if any, that sort of distinguishes them from other people? And so you could, in theory, you know, with the store layout, you could certainly obviously begin to affect what people do. And we know that because supermarkets have been doing that for years. You go into a supermarket, you know, the average person does not realize it, but that's all, you know, especially a modern supermarket, is they're very carefully laid out, and they know exactly what people are doing as far as what they buy, and different vendors typically pay to get their product at eye level, you know, the average eye level. And of course, the stuff, you know, the stuff that gets sold to kids, you know, to influence the kids to buy it, to get them to influence their parents, of course they put that at the kids' eye level. So Apple's probably, what they're doing is just they're taking some, what was basically the supermarket idea, and sort of transferring that to their own Apple stores. So that's very interesting. So I might check that one out. So Ian also sent another a shorter voicemail. So let's go ahead and listen to that one.
Hi, I like your music this morning. This is the kind of music that drives my wife crazy. She says it just goes nowhere. I find it sort of interesting myself. Of course, I like bluegrass and she doesn't, so what can I say? I'm just having my coffee. It's like 6 o'clock in the morning. So this is checking through my mail. So this is great background music. We'll talk to you later, Tom. Bye-bye.
Yeah, what Ian's talking about, there's the Philip Glass music. And, yeah, I could see where some people think, well, this just doesn't go anywhere, but because it is pretty repetitive. But it's interesting because, you know, inside of that repetitiveness, small changes can... I don't know. It's probably in how you listen to it, but small changes kind of cause it to go somewhere. Now, I've got a piece of music I've played before a long time ago. It's the pianist Rob Costlow, and this is called Reconstruction. Now, this is about 2 minutes long, but you'll find that this is, you know, you listen to this and it's quite repetitive.
Thank you.
Okay, so that's Rob Costlow, pianist Rob Costlow, and that's called Reconstruction. And so that's an example of the type of music that Rob Costlow makes. You know, he's had several CDs, and you know, it's sort of really along the same lines as what's that guy's name, George Winston, that kind of came before him. So you have George Winston, and then you know, you can, and if you listen to that, you listen to those guys, then you can begin to see, you know, where the influence of Philip Glass comes from. You know, or you know, where they got that, you know, he started this, the whole idea, obviously, you know, because Philip Glass has been around a lot longer than these other guys have. So Philip Glass has kind of came up with, you know, the idea of the kind of repetitive sort of, I guess you'd say that the, you know, the Philip Glass music, you know, I'd kind of describe a lot of it as sort of nervous. But I like it. I really like it. I like most of the Philip Glass stuff I really like. And so there are people that, you know, they'll listen to this and they think, oh, that's just mindless, or they'll listen to it and they think it's wonderful. So, but there's all kinds of different music, you know, so you're not just stuck with one kind. And if you don't like one kind, there's always other stuff. And but this kind of music is, you can listen to it over and over again, is the other thing that I've noticed about it, is you know, it has I don't know what you'd call that. It's got a high degree of re-listenability. I don't know. I'm sure there's probably a better term for that, but, so anyway, I think I'm going to go ahead and cut this off. I don't know if you can hear it. It is raining now. I'm hearing some a bit of rain. So I don't know, you know, if my electricity may go off again tonight. I don't know. It's it hasn't really gone off, but there's a couple of times here while I've been talking that I saw it flicker, just a split second. So it's possible that you know, that it may go off again, and I think I want to go ahead and cut this off and get this uploaded and get it published, and then rather than ending up you know, sitting here in the dark and not being able to upload it. So in any case, hope everyone is having a great week, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.